Korach. This is a very good portion, as all the others. Once again, we get a different form of rebellion. I mean, we got a lot of, how many of you know, we got a lot of forms of rebellion in the culture today. A lot of forms. One thing, I don't know how many of you looked at the little piece we put out on the computer once a week, but I was reading this whole Torah portion, and Yahweh spoke to me about this, about apathy and complacency and neglect in God's word, towards God's word, is fertile ground for strife, corruption, confusion, and division. When people get away from the word, they get away from it, they enter the turmoil of themselves. It leaves one vulnerable to themselves. These forms of decay allow one to fall into elevating oneself over Yahweh's anointed, his will, his Torah, thus coming against him. And this will not allow anyone to advance into their next season. Now, I've always tried to go by Torah application of our lifestyle today. Because we're the same bloodlines, all mixed and passed down. The Torah is the same as it was before. And it's meant for all the house of Israel. And this is one of the things that we have. I mean, we have a fellow come in today that said, you know, he said, I'm sick of all the fighting in the Messianic congregations. And this is where it's coming from. The spirit of Korach. The influence of Korach. Yeshayahu, Isaiah 29:13. Therefore the Lord says, insomuch these people draw near with me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me. And their fear towards me is taught by the commandment of men. Sound familiar? Matthew 15:8. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. And how, you know, we've had several thousand years for man to really distort things. Mark 7:6. He answered and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy to you hypocrites, that is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And Ezekiel 33:31. So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but with their hearts pursue their own gain. That's a stout verse. See, reading scripture with an open mind and an open heart towards character change will fine-tune you. Korach. Proverbs 1:8-9. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the Torah, the teaching of your mother. For there will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. Now, when they're saying this, this is also, when it says instruction of your father's metaphor for the Torah. And the teaching of the Torah, or the law of your mother, is also what, how we get guided in the Brit Chadashah, the New Testament. See, the Tanakh is the male aspect of God, and the Brit Chadashah, the manifestation, is the female aspect of God. I'm not saying he's both. He's all he wants to be. But it has two different flavors, two different realms, the manifestation of it set in motion. Remember, we don't decide our future. Our habits decide our future. So if we change our habits, we can change our future. Numbers 16:1-3. Now Korach the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On the son of Peleth, and the sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moshe with some the children of Israel. 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation of men. Korach rose up against Moshe. He saw that what he thought was right, that was all he could see, what he thought was right. Being a victim of self, he could not see the consequences. See, wisdom is the ability to anticipate consequences. Wisdom is the ability to anticipate consequences. Wisdom is the teaching of Yah applied accurately. Not the way we think it should be, but the way He wants it to return. See, He wants His teaching to return back to Him carrying you. It's a vessel. It's an influence. The Torah is an influence. And He wants it to return. Isaiah 55:11. As I put it before, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. That means it shall not return to me without you. But it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Character change. His word returns back to Him, bringing us. If we let go, really let go. Do we show more real kindness from our heart towards others as we do criticalness behind closed doors? God sees it all. Yah sees it all. You see here in Korach the negative ability to rise up against Moshe. There had to be one thing that took place with him and the 250 others to give him the will to rise up against Moshe. And this one thing took place in the previous Torah portions. And that one thing was many. Bad report, murmuring, deception, dishonor, criticalness towards Moshe. You know, they just didn't decide all of a sudden, we're going to go do this. See, he went around the camp. He started focusing on himself so much. He went around the camp. And he was, over here, Santa. Moses, what guy? What does he think he's doing? You know, he's wearing us around, and we're out here in the sticks. And he's using us, you know. He's talking against him. Because he could. He thought he could. He didn't even think of the consequences. He was thinking of himself. He was thinking of what he was against, not what he should be standing for. So Korach went around and did a little email thing, you know. He went around the camp. And he visited everybody with his opinion. And he was a good talker because he actually convinced himself, so he was able to convince others that Moshe was a mistake. We all need to band together, put him in his place. But didn't Scripture say that Moshe was the most humblest man there ever was? Maybe that's what they didn't like about him. Maybe they wanted him to take more charge, or maybe over those that they didn't like. I mean, all this is going on while manna is falling down. Just manna in the morning. I mean, a gift from God is falling. And these people are creating strife. Manna, you know, I can just see it. Hey, don't pick up that manna. That's my manna. That's my manner right there. You pick it up. Because you're picking it up, I want it. Just because you touch that. No, get your hands off that manna. That's mine. I can see it. This is what they're doing. Does it sound familiar? You know, I could just see it. Manna everywhere, and they're already fighting it amongst it. It's a picture of his children today. His manna is falling down. His manna is amongst us. It's amongst the congregations. The people that have been called out of Egypt. And the manna is trying to enter their soul. And they're fighting. Spirit of Grok is on them. Those influences do not go away. They hang out for thousands of years. And they go from person to person to person to person to person. Nobody can see them. I'm in charge of my life. I'm fine. This is what goes on. We see it. Murmur and deception. All while picking up manna. They did the same thing towards Yeshua. Because Yeshua gave us the keys of the kingdom. The Torah applied accurately, not religiously. You can always tell when one is truly walking in the Spirit by how much kindness and warmth and forgiveness it emanates from them. That you can tell it. You can feel it. But when someone has the Spirit of Korach, They're talking about what they're against, not what they're for. Matthew 18:21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Yeshua said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. That's a lot of money. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, key word, released him and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had been done, they were very grieved. And came and told their master all that had been done. And then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I have pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespass. Sin to sin, it's measure for measure. Once again, measure for measure. Number 16:4. So when Moshe heard it, when he heard this rising up, he fell on his face and he spoke to Korach and all his company, saying, tomorrow morning the Lord will show you who is his and who is Kadosh, and will cause him to come near to him. That one whom he chooses, he will cause to come near to him. Do this. Take censers, Korach and all your company. put fire in them and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord chooses is the Holy One. You take too much upon yourselves, you sons of Levi. See, there was guys from Reuben here too. Because Reuben was the firstborn. They were after that. So they all had different agendas. They all got together because one had this against Moshe and this one had another thing against Moshe. The only thing they had in common is they were against. They were just flat against. Then Moshe said to Korach, "Hear now, you sons of Levi. It is a small thing to you that the God of Israel has separated you." Is it? Is it a small thing? Is it a small thing to you that he chose you guys to be separate from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the work of the tabernacle of Yah and to stand before the congregation to serve them? The Korach wasn't even thinking about serving the congregation or he would never rose up. As he was a bad example. He was thinking of his prominence. And he's saying, isn't it enough? And he has brought you near to himself, you and all your brethren, the sons of Levi with you. And are you seeking the priesthood also? Therefore, you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that you complain against him? And Moshe sent to Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, but they said, "We will not come up." See, they just had it in them. They had enough and strengthened themselves in the wrong direction enough that they wouldn't even, he wanted them to come up and they wouldn't even come up. So no, we're not going to come up. We're going to do it our way. It's a small thing that you have brought us up out of the land of flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness. They reversed it. See the reversal there? Where were they calling the land of milk and honey? Bondage. To kill us in the wilderness, that you should keep acting like a prince over us. So you keep acting like a prince over us? More of you have brought us into a land flowing with milk and you have not brought us to a land flowing with milk and honey, nor have given us an inheritance of fields or vineyards. Will you put out the eyes of these men as a metaphor? Will you pull the wool over these guys' eyes? That's a Hebraic metaphor. Put out the eyes is also the same thing as throw dust in the eyes. It's the same thing as, are you going to pull the wool over these guys' eyes? Are you going to try to keep fooling us? We've been out here long enough, according to them. See, they were not one bit considerate of how where Yah wanted them. They were not one bit considerate where he wanted them. They were concerned where they wanted themselves. I'm uncomfortable. We won't come up. Then Moshe was very angry and said to the Lord, "Do not respect their offering. I have not taken one bribe from them, one donkey from them, one payment on the side from them, nor have I hurt one of them." And Moshe said to Korach, "Tomorrow you and all your company be present before Yahweh, you and they as well as Aaron. Let each take a censer and put incense in it, and each of you bring a censer before the Lord. 250 censers, both you and Aaron, each with his censer." Now, there were some guys in there that weren't supposed to be doing that. They weren't qualified. It was death. But they were challenging the leader, Moshe, and he said, "Okay, you priests to yourselves, bring up your censers." They had to start them thinking a little bit, maybe. But they were so blinded, they went ahead anyway. So every man took a censer, put fire, and laid incense on it, stood at the door of the tabernacle meeting with Moshe and Aaron. And Korach gathered all the congregation against them at the door of the tabernacle meeting. I mean, this guy really had a strong influence on him. He was really operating in himself. Then the glory of Yah appeared to all the congregation. And yes, spoke to Moshe, Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation that I may consume them in a moment. Then they fell on their faces and said, oh yeah, the Elohim of the spirits of all flesh. Shall one man sin and you be angry with all the congregation? So Yah spoke to Moshe saying, speak to the congregation, saying, get away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Then Moshe rose and went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spoke to the congregation, saying, depart now from the tents of these wicked men. Touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins. Touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins. Very powerful piece of advice. Touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed by their influence. Don't go their way one little bit, or that influence will attach itself to you, and you're next. See, they had the attitude of, not me. I'm free. I can do what I want out here. We're in the bushes, man. Who are you going to go call? What are you going to do about it? So they got away from around the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood at the door of their tents with their wives, their sons, and their little children. And Moses said, by this, you shall know that Yah has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them on my own will. The same words of Yeshua. He said, I don't do my will, I do the will of my Father who sent me. If these men die naturally like all men, or if they are visited by the common fate of all men, then the Lord hasn't sent me. But if Yah creates a new thing, and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that belongs to them, and they go down alive into the pit, then you will understand that these men have rejected Yahweh. That was the whole thing right there. He hit the nail on the head. They have rejected Yahweh. They flat rejected him. Their opinion was more important to them than what Yahweh had set in motion. Now it came to pass as he finished speaking all these words that the ground split apart under them, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with their households and all the men with Korach and all their goods. So they and all those with them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed over them, and they perished from among the assembly. Then the censers of these men who sinned against their own souls, let them be made into hammer places covering for the altar, because they presented them before the Lord. Therefore they are kadosh, and they shall be a sign to the children of Israel. So is this to a portion to be to their descendants. A sign to us. See, this is really interesting. When I first come into the faith as a Christian, I had really had a hard time with pastors. Oh, I had a hard time with pastors. I just thought, oh man, I'm having, and I was ignorant. Because measure for measure, here I am up here having a hard time with myself. How did this happen? He has a sense of humor, doesn't he? We have to be careful what we say. What we speak will revisit us. Measure for measure, what you say, look out. Even if you're in the bathroom with the door locked and you're talking to the mirror. You're thinking it in your mind going down the road. It will revisit you. He can do anything. And I know he's getting a kick out of a lot of it. Yahweh is a good God. He has so much mercy on us, he lets us live to chew on ourselves. That's how much mercy he has. He said, I love you so much, Jay. He says, here, I'm going to give you some more of you. The ground swallowed them. Those with the bad influence, the spirit. And then we hear Marcion's teachings today echoing, oh, that big bad God of the Old Testament, he just didn't show any mercy. We go to the, you know, okay, we'll go to the New Testament. You know, they said Jesus, Marcion said Jesus came to save us from the unmerciful God of the Old Testament. But John, it says I and my Father are one, right? Acts 5:1. Now, the actions of the apostles, this book was written after he ascended, right? But a certain man named Hananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Hananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Ruach HaKodesh and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. This is what Korach was doing in his heart. He was lying to himself and to God. Then Hananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose, wrapped him up, carried him out, buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later, there's that number again, when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answers, and tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of God? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they'll carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young man came in and found her dead and carried her out and buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. Now, it seems to me this is kind of a running parallel with what happened with Korach. I and my Father are one. It wasn't so much that they held back something as it was they lied about it. They deceived. The deception. And this all happened after he ascended. There's not much mercy to those who think that they deceive not only man, but Yahweh also. This is a very important lesson for me. Y'all can do with it what you want. But this is an important lesson to me. If we operate in deception, we will not have peace. We will not have peace. It will chase you down. It will chase you down. When you have the spirit of Korach on you, come in. When a spirit of Korach comes in among a congregation, you have an accusing spirit, an imagination spirit, a spirit that talks behind people's back, gossip, murmur, rumors, an influencing spirit of division, a deceiving spirit. So Korach is frost and ice. One of the meanings here, frost and ice. I thought, oh, that's interesting. That which comes, you know, I take it back to agriculture all the time. I always go back to agriculture. That which comes against positive growth, frost and ice. That which comes against positive growth. An area in one's life that is cold, stopping one's growth. Growth as in moving towards bearing fruit. Don't even dwell one little bit on how someone offended you. It will freeze you solid. You will drive someone who's the closest to you away. It will make frost of you. And remember, frost covers the plants, right? And stops growth. Remember, he likens this into grass? So we take grass and apply it here. It covers the grass, covers the plants, stops the growth. And when the sun comes out, the grass is marked on top with its dead top. It's not a one-time thing. We must daily assess ourselves. At the end of your day, I have to say to myself, I weigh it, just like I'm going to be weighed. How much of my words were negative and how much of my words were positive? And the difference will lie in parallel your peace. I finally realized my opinion only mattered to me. Nobody else cared about it. I realized, hey, I take my sack of opinions and throw them away. That's how deep we literally have to go. Moshe never said in there, it is my opinion. He says, this is Yahweh. He operated as Yahweh directed him to operate. He said, this is what I think about it. He didn't do that. I think we ought to have a committee and vote in democracy. He didn't do that. It will make frost of you and then ice. How much of the day do I spend in coldness towards those close to me compared with warmth? Remember measure for measure in all things. I have to become the hunter. We have to become the hunter and not the hunted. Seek out and find the destructive and cold influences that have attached themselves to ourselves. And I mean, that's the way we got to look at it. We got to do a root hog and die thing here. We got to get in there and get into the dirty stuff. And really the things we don't want to look at. We got to get it out. I have to get it out. Because if I don't, I won't have peace. I won't have peace. I can come here and I can act like a little pastor, be a little puppet and a little guy that walks around and be nice and everything, and then go home and be a total jerk. Yahweh sees this. It's easy for our culture to make us go down. Bills, money, dollar shrinking, gas going up, you name it. It's easy to spiral down. That's letting go of too much. Hang on to Yahweh. Let go of the rest. I have to become the hunter and not the hunted. See, the influence will hunt you down. Look for a vulnerable spot and attach itself. I have to be on guard, watch for it, and hunt it. I have to realize that now some of these influences have been with us for thousands of years. Most of all these influences have been floating around for a long time. So long, the things in our lives that drag us down have been with us so long, we don't even realize they're there. We don't even realize it. We just think that's standard procedure. I got the Torah. But does it have you? Yahweh is good. I have to try to sometimes even possibly consider what he's driving at. I got to really pay attention. Korach, when he showed up on the scene with his opinions, we used to have a saying on places where we worked. We'd have guys show up once in a while that had that Korach influence on them. They show up on a job site, and everybody's running in harmony, man. We're spanking out houses in 3-4 days with no nail guns. Big, fancy, chopped up homes. We're moving, man. One guy show up with the spirit of Korach, and it's like two good men went home. It's awful. And then we finally run them over the fence and send them on their way. And this is what happened here. So if it was 250. But Yahweh intercedes. The enemy disguises these influences in our personality. That's the scientific world, you know. Well, now your personality needs to be altered here. No, it's character. Or it's just the way things are. Oh, well, that's just the way things are, you know. I gotta complain about something here. I'm a victim. Victim. Or we have an orphan's heart. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares. I'll go hide. The spirit of Korach towers over another. He come and Moses towering over Moshe. He's towering over him. This is hard. It's in a lot of relationships. It starts out as little children in the sandbox. This is it. The spirit of Korach towering over people. If I want peace into my life, I have to work at it daily. Does my peace come from constantly correcting my spouse?
No.
Does her peace come from constantly correcting me?
Yes.
Who said yes? Yeah. I'll go get the broken baseball bat. Dig with my own way. You pound sand. I must now look at life as a yeshiva. The minute we walk out this door, we need to look at where we're going, what we're doing as a yeshiva, a place of learning. This is what Yah wants for us. He wants us to learn from his guidance. We're in a yeshiva, whether we like it or not, we're in one. If I don't accept what Yah is trying to teach me in life, if I don't accept what Yahweh is trying to teach me in life, where am I at in Yeshua's kingdom? Where am I at? If I don't accept what Yeshua is trying to teach me, what Yahweh is trying to teach me, where am I at in the kingdom? It's our learning lessons. God says, I will make you my people. He didn't say, you're going to make yourself my people. He says, I'm going to make you my people. And we go down kicking and screaming. When our life is over, and that's coming, and we look back, which we will, no way out of it. How much warmth did I show? Did we show in our words versus words of sarcasm and strife? Your words make you what you are. That's cold, huh? It can be warm. Our words make us what we are. Yeshua wants us to be a light, not a prodding stick. He wants us to be a light, not a broken baseball bat. He wants us to follow his instruction to the best of our ability, to try, to look at our character. I see so many temples looking at other temples and criticizing other tabernacles because that tabernacle, well, I don't need to look at my tabernacle, that tabernacle's bugging my tabernacle. Your words make you what you are. They will return to you. Korach had to cause division and perish for stronger unity to take place among those who walked with Moshe. Korach had to cause division and perish. He didn't even know he was doing it. For stronger unity to take place amongst those who walked with Moshe. See, when the bride develops a rebellious heart towards the husband, it creates fire in other people's lives. Psalms 106, 16. When they envied Moshe in the camp, and Aharon, the saint of Yah, the earth opened up and swallowed the thorn and covered the faction of Abiam. A fire was kindled in their company, And the flame burned up the wicked. The cold hard fact is the spirit of Korah is the spirit of death. The division is Yahweh's plan to eliminate people who are not fruitful. Division is Yahweh's plan to eliminate people who are not fruitful. Korach didn't realize that he wasn't rejecting Moshe so much as he was rejecting Yahweh. 1 Samuel 8:7. And the Lord said to Shmuel, "See, heed the voice of the people and all that they say to you." This is when they were wanting, this was after the judges died off. Now they wanted a king. "For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them out of Egypt, even to this day which they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing to you also. Now therefore heed their voice. However, you shall solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them." Which brings us to today. See, the thing that I've noticed is when we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we didn't know who he was. Just Jesus. Jesus. That's all we knew. Jesus. Jesus saves. From what? From who? From where? Jesus saves. I got Jesus. By God. And we all continue operating our same old self. No character change. No character change. Criticalness. Criticalness. You know what I mean? Yeshua, learning who he was and is to come, the spirit of the Torah, character change. "The owner's manual for my vehicle is designed for it to run better." The owner's manual, God's teaching instruction, the Torah, is designed to make us run better. It's designed for us to get rid of all the schoolyard stuff. It contains our blessings. Yeshua, Yahweh Yeshua Torah, are an influence of order. And our flesh does not like it. And we have to apply it to our flesh. How do we know we're under a negative influence? We're always learning, but we never act on it. That's how we know. We're always learning, but we don't act on it. The same as lawlessness. Matthew 7:21-27. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' Then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You did a lot of good things, but what good thing did you do in yourself? You practice lawlessness by ignoring the application of what I was trying to get you to apply.'" Does this make any sense? Luke 13:24. "No, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen who gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate." Ooh. "And assuredly I say to you, you shall not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yah.'" Your house is left to you desolate. "Behold," you see, only people motivated by self-interest, eager for the position of leader will say, I can do it better. Or this is where I would make changes. Deny yourself. When Yeshua said deny yourself means character change for him. Not just the only opinion. What about Yahweh's view? I'm entitled to my opinion. Wait, isn't Yahweh entitled to his opinion? Wait, I'm kadosh, I'm holy. I'm justified. It's the purpose of the Torah that all Israel, all people be challenged to become kadosh. It's the purpose of the Torah that all people be challenged to become hadosh, set apart. Leviticus 19:2 says it. Speak to all the congregation of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, Yahweh, your Elohim, am holy. It is a future goal, not a present boast. It's a future goal, not a present boast. I can't say I'm completely holy when he's trying to get me to see something that isn't in me. Then I'm back under the spirit of Korach. I'm lying to myself. It has been said the world exists because of people who are able to restrain themselves during a quarrel. The world exists because of people who are able to restrain themselves during a quarrel. We must be careful we don't become a priest unto ourselves. This is what Korach was. He was becoming a priest unto himself. Acts 7:35-39. This Moshe whom they rejected, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge? Is the one God sent to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after he had shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moshe who said to the children of Israel, Yahweh your Elohim will raise you up, and Nevi'im, a prophet like me from your brethren, him you shall hear. Whether you obey or not, it's your choice, but you're going to hear him. This is he who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, the one who received the living oracles to give to us, whom our fathers would not obey, but rejected it. And in their hearts, they turned back to Egypt. In their hearts. So the minute I reject, what does it say? To not do what's right is transgression to us. The minute I think of it, starts with thought, reject what he says, bring me a blessing. The minute I reject that, it's transgression to me. Mainly in the areas of character change. All the writings, I've got tons of books at home, written people from the land going back hundreds of years. That know the Torah inside and out. And these men of old, these sages, every one of them, their commentaries are pointing towards character change. Avos, Berkei Avos, all that. All of it. Because they know. That's why many of them just didn't even talk. They were just quiet. They were quiet. They knew the mouth would get them in trouble. Colossians 2:18-22. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Therefore, if you died to Yeshua from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? Meaning the regulations of man. Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all things concern things which perish with using according to the commandments and doctrines of men. Don't they? They perish. He's talking about the regulations of men. These things indeed have appearance of wisdom, self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. If you are raised with the Mashiach, with Yeshua, seek those things which are above, where Yeshua is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Yeshua, with Christ in God. Ezekiel 11:12-20. And you shall know that I am Yahweh, for you have not walked in my statutes nor executed my judgments, but have done according to the customs of the Gentiles which are all around you. Now it happened while I was prophesying that Pelatiah, the son of Abinadab, died. And then I fell on my face and cried out with a loud voice, Ah, Lord your God, will you make a complete end of the remnant of Israel? Again the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, your brethren, your relatives, your countrymen, and all the house of Israel in its entirety are those about whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, Get far away from the Lord, this land has been given to us as a possession. Therefore say this, says the Lord God, although I have cast them afar off among the Gentiles, and although I have scattered them among the countries, hidden them, yet I shall be a little sanctuary for them in the countries where they have gone. Amen. Therefore, say, thus says Yahweh, I will gather you from the people, and I will assemble you from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they will go there, and they will take away all its detestable things and all its abominations from here. Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, keep my judgments, and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for those hearts who follow the desire for their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord God. Now, we want to remember, I used to think all the time, idols. You know, they were carving little idols. No, it was the idols of the heart, the deep things of the character that you're talking about. They're pointing mainly at here. For without the change, without the cleaning of the temple, the tabernacle, it remains dirty. Yahweh Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, give us strength and wisdom in these times. Again, I ask, I continually pray, please help us to have strength, to recognize the things that are chasing us down, how, give us the strength to see the things that are bringing us pain inside. Give us the strength to see the areas where your peace lies. Help us to look between the boards and the fence and see that land that you want us to inherit. Help us to see that realm of life that you want us to choose. Help us to work on ourselves and identify the things that we don't even have to talk to anybody about. We just look and look at them with you and grow out of it, Yahweh. Help us to grow out of it. In the name of Yeshua, amen.